From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here as we are smack dab in the middle of a hot, hot summer. Man, could it get it? Well, I'm not going to ask if it could get any warmer. That's a stupid question. Yes, it could get warmer. Yes, we could get more humidity. We're like in the middle of 20% of the world's fresh water. So, yeah, we're going to be a little humid. But that's okay. We'll talk about why it's okay in a little bit. But first, want to thank our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street, 127 in Mason. They are back open. They took a little time down to put in their new point of sale system, and they are back and running full tilt. Make sure you get in there and check them out, man, for all the great prices on ammunition and firearms and everything beyond, as well as our friends at Conquest Sense. ConquestSense.com, direct link to both places on our website. And we're going to talk about Conquest Sense right now. Oddly enough, on the Conquest Sense hotline is Doug Roberts. How are you, sir?
I am good, Duran. How are you doing?
I'm doing better than I was yesterday. I went through like two shirts yesterday and working on this big barn sale that I'm doing at the house this weekend. But other than that, I'm in a nice air-conditioned place and a microphone, so that's not bad. That's not bad.
But there you go. We're all doing finishing hay fields, so you're ahead of me.
Right. Well, I'll be cutting and baling the yard a little bit later on today. But you know, we always talk about how the heat. I mean, how this year has been like a perfect storm for antler growth. We had a cool, wet spring. And now, which is great for the food sources out there, now we've got hot, hot weather, humid weather, which is raising the blood pressure on these bucks. Not good for us, but good for antler growth.
You're absolutely right. Right now, the antlers are just getting pounded out. And I'm really amazed that it seems like a lot of maximizing because of the cold, cool spring. You know, a lot of the stuff grew well. Now, yes, things aren't growing well right now, but it had a good jump start once we started warming up, and they're still getting the benefits out of that. And now this is just forcing the blood to move through their system faster, which puts more calcium in those antlers, which makes bigger antlers. So it's a good combination for hunters. So fall is looking good.
Man, you know, I was out in the back, and it's so nice. I love seeing the new fawns around. Every year on our house, we see at least two to four new fawns. And of course, I love the curiosity of fawns when they're this age. They're a month and a half, 2 months old at this point in time. And I mean, literally, Doug, I had one come running right towards me, bouncing around playing, while mom is in the background going, you know, you just need to stop.
Yep. Oh, yeah, well, they're just like kids.
Right.
I mean, I've always told you, you know, I said what deer do in 7 years, we do in 70 years, you know, so you can really kind of judge it by that. But, yeah, I mean, we're watching them out here, and they do the dumbest things. In fact, they'll run into things because they're looking back, looking at, you know, another fawn. Or it's like, guys, pay attention to what you're doing. And that's exactly what we're telling all of our kids. Pay attention to what you're doing. So it is kind of comical to see.
It is. And you know, is there a way to gauge if we're going to have another, I mean, a good group of fawns? I mean, as far as production is concerned with the winter and the season we had in the fall, which really determines what comes out in the spring and the early summer?
You know, it is hard to judge the wild deer herd that way. I think there's pockets that are going to have an exceptional fawn crop. I think there's other areas that will be down a little bit because of the winter that we had. It's all, you know, we've talked about this in the past, the pre-rut body weight of the bucks, but it's also the pre rut body weight of the does, once they wean their fawns off, are they able to get back in the right condition, not only to be bred, but to make it through the winter? And do they have enough food source that they can sustain and grow those fawn bodies through the, you know, again, develop them through the winter, really the third trimester, which is that last body growing period. That's normally when spring starts to kind of come and the greens start to show up. You know, it's March, April, May. Well, guess what? This spring, things were slow.
Mm-hmm.
So did that have a bearing on the fawn crop and the bearing on the fawn size? There's a good possibility it did.
Doug Roberts is our guest here from Conquest Sense. Doug, we there's been, I mean, look, this has been a great year for watching deer, man. They're in their bright red colors. The fawns are all spotted up and everything right now. Bucks pretty much in their just kind of solo thing, just doing their own thing on their own right now.
Well, they're in their bachelor groups. They like the cooler, damper areas. So if you find, you know, lower areas, swampier areas, again, that's if you compare it to, you know, why do a lot of the big bucks, you know, catch EHD if you have that in the area? It's because those gnats and all that go to those areas. So, yeah, you're not going to see the bucks. You'll see them just before dark and maybe early as the sun's coming up on the edges of the fields feeding, but they like to stay more in the dense, cooler areas. And it's really interesting. We can watch them here on the farm, and they're the same way. You'll see all the bucks down in the woods where it's cooler. They definitely have to deal with more flies and stuff like that, and you'll find the does and the fawns laying out in the fields where the grass can kind of whip at them. They're in the sunlight a lot of times, but then they're not dealing with the bucks as much, so it's two totally different sets of animals this time of the year. Two different places where they like to stay.
Now, that really brings to mind, too, when it comes to trail cam setup. You know, I mean, a lot of times, maybe fall, we want, like, yep, edge of the field. But right now, we want to be in the deeper woods, the cooler areas, the lower lying areas, setting up those trail cams.
Absolutely, because those bucks will stay in the woods and they'll eat on the leaves, and even then they'll come right to the edge and they'll eat on that. You know how the edge of a woods is always thick with brush and leaves and vines and all that. They'll stay on the inside of that lots of times, especially the bigger bucks, where you never see them. They're right there, but they just won't step out in that field until maybe it's dark. And again, it's because it's cooler once it gets dark out. They want the coolness. So, yeah, I think if you put your trail cams more down in the woods, more around water areas, down in those, you know, in the woods, in the swamp areas, you're going to get better pictures of the bucks.
Doug Roberts is our guest here from Conquest Sense. Conquest Sense, makers of Evercalm, Sense in a Stick. Something that I, along with Tom Nelson, always swear by, whether you're hunting or not, if you're going out, maybe setting up trail cams, or maybe you're working on clearing some brush or some area around tree stands, to, you know, be kind of generous with it around yourself, on your body as kind of a curiosity scent and a cover.
Oh, yeah. See, right now you can literally train the deer in your area to come to a specific area using Evercalm. And you get them used to that smell, and wherever you put that, they go, oh, okay, there's other deer there. I'm going to go to that area. And so you can literally train them throughout the summer to come to your hunting, you know, in front of your tree stand or in front of your hunting blind, into that food plot, you know, all summer and early fall before the season actually gets there. So when you're ready to go and you put it out and you put fresh stuff out, they're like, oh, yep, that's where we go. And always in front of trail cams. It just sets up, you know, 10, 12 feet in front of your trail camera. You get great pictures of everything.
Doug Roberts, our guest here on Wild Michigan. We're going to talk more with Doug in just a few minutes. Doug, if you don't mind hanging on for us, there's a few more questions I want to ask. I get the mindset for fall food plots, because fall really isn't that far away. So hang on the line. We're going to talk more with Doug. You can find him via our website, wildmichiganradio.com, and you can pick up his products there as well, conquestsense.com. All available along with the podcast at wildmichiganradio.com.
Hi, this is Cuz Strickland with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here, being brought to you by our friends, Not Just Guns, also Conquest Sense, and Doug Roberts of Conquest Sense, he and his lovely wife, Karen. Fine Michigan folks, and there are no better kind than Michigan kind, and that's just because I'm very partial to this wonderful state we live in, and all the opportunities we have to hunt and fish and do so. Talking with Doug right now on the Conquest Sense Hotline. Doug, I want to look a little forward because here, you know, August is coming at us at a very high rate of speed. Believe it or not, October 1st is the same place it's always been on the calendar, kind of like November 15th, and we need to be ready for this. We need to not necessarily have everything sighted in. Yes, that'll be great, but I want to look at a little bit long term. I want to look at food plots because, you know, we have all this great food, you know, everything's still green, looking great, but, you know, there's always a fall food plot that we can look at if we have some, even like a quarter acre or something to get the deer in. And I'm wondering what is a good type of food, because, you know, in the summertime we have what we call, you know, what the goose guys call cool foods. Then they have the hot foods in the summer, like the beans and corn and things of that nature. Are deer kind of the same way?
Well, they are. They're looking more in the fall. They start looking more for the starch items to build fat. Really, what they're trying to do is they're trying to build up, you know, and again, let's talk about it's bucks and does, but let's specifically talk about the bucks. They're trying to build as much body fat, as much body weight as they possibly can in the pre-rut, because they know they're going to wear it off, and they're going to run it off, and they're going to exercise it off during the rut. And then they got to figure out, how do we gain that back in the wintertime? At the worst point of the year for them, they've got to have that nutrition. So corn is always a good thing. Your starches, you got wheat, barley, buck forage oats is great. Alfalfa, if you can actually plant some alfalfa and let it grow up and leave it, very good fiber for them and for their body late season going through the winter. You know, again, in Michigan, we can't bait or feed, but if you could, pure alfalfa is phenomenally good for them. It's very, very healthy for all the animals.
You know, Doug, I look at when we could bait, and different areas of Michigan have different types of food that we baited with. You know, the east side of the state, there's a lot of corn, sugar beets, and the like. I'm sorry, carrots, sugar beets, and the like. Down here, we use corn. Other places use corn. If this is going to sound like a very strange question, but if we were to try and introduce things like sugar beets to something, to the deer down here, would they naturally go to it, or was it something that would just be kind of like, what the hell's this?
It's definitely something that has to be learned, but I think in most places, a lot of the deer still remember when we could bait and feed and remember sugar beets because everybody used them everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I planted turnips a couple of years out back, and our deer had never seen turnips, but last year they tore right into them. So it took a couple of years for them to get used to it. Again, we had a pretty rough winter. We helped, you know, we kind of dug them up for them. We took a plow and just kind of flipped everything. So, you know, the turnips themselves were up. But it's training them to like it. And again, if that's really the only food source they have, and sugar content sources are really good for them, they're going to learn to eat it. And once they figure out that it's good for them, you've got them locked in. So, yeah, if you can plant sugar beets or you can plant turnips in with buck forage oats, alfalfa, those, I'd like to plant things that the normal farmers don't plant, because farmers take it all away.
Mm-hmm.
And I want something that's different and unique that can stay there for those deer to have a variety during the hunting season. So,
yeah, it's just kind of curious, because I remember way back when we could bait, I had taken some sugar beets out and I put them in. I'm like, why aren't they eating them? What the hell? And then I cut them in half. Okay. Oh, what a different story that was.
Well, yeah, and it's also the smell.
Right.
You know, deer, you know, of course, deer only have teeth on the top, you know, in the front. And so if you give them edges, it's much easier for them to chew on something and tear off. So, yeah, but it really what you did is you opened up the smell.
Right.
And that's sweet, and they understand the sugar, and they go, oh, sugar content. That helps build the fat store. You know, so we'll dig into that. But, yeah, we actually last year planted some sugar beets out back. You know, again, if you plant them, it's all natural, then you're fine. And all we did was just took a two-bottom plow and just ran it through and flipped it.
See, and that's...
And they're there, you know, so... And it's legal to do it that way.
Well, exactly. You know, you're not hurting the environment. And it's not just deer that are eating these things either. And let's make this clear. You're helping, you know, a lot of other animals with food source. You know, and the breakdown is helping the environment, the ground, and everything else. So it's a good thing. Food plots. I mean, there are so many benefits to food plots other than just deer. I mean, this goes far beyond whitetails.
Yeah, our little section that we planted of alfalfa, it was amazing how many turkeys were in there and still eating the leaves and all the structures and stuff. So, I mean, again, you're helping them. It's the old farming style. If you think back, you know, before all the Roundup, and you had the weeds and you had the seeds, you had the feeds and all of that, that's really what you're doing with that food plot. But you're just able to pick more specific things. I love the alfalfa, the buck forage oats, really the turnips, the sugar beet combination, that type of a blend. Now, you can't mix it all together, so I do a section of alfalfa, then I do a section of turnips and buck forage oats, and then I do a section of sugar beets, and that's what I did last year. I call it striping. Mm-hmm. And so the deer can actually pick the section they like to be in. And honestly, I do it according to where my tree stand is, so the sugar beets absolutely will be the closest, and the alfalfa is the furthest away, because again, later in the season they're going to want that sugar content. Well, I've got them right up close, you know, on the close side of my food plot. So kind of fun to do.
It is, and you know, it's funny how you can yardage mark those things. Oh, there's the sugar beets.
Oh, you can.
15 yards.
yep. It's exactly what I do. I do basically like 10-yard strips, and you know, so alfalfa is out there. The far end's 50, and the close end's 40, and then from 40 to 30, and 30 to 20, and you know, again, now you don't need a rangefinder.
Absolutely, Doug Roberts, ConquestSense.com. Look him up and get your orders in now. Okay, you need danger zone. Keep the pests away from your perennials, maybe your hosta that the deer are so damn fond of, or you know, maybe need some Evercalm, and get the VS1 while you can too. Sense in a stick, beautiful thing, plus the other line of great products. Doug, thank you so much as always. Appreciate your time.
It's a blessing. It's always fun to talk with you, Duran. Thank you.
Thank you. More coming your way. Going to speak with Brian Brosdahl next on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Down in the holler, old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar, keeping that chain pulled tight, waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks so much to Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense, giving us all that great deer info. Now, look, man, we're almost into August, okay? October's not that far away. Get yourself sighted in. Get your tree stands ready. Get your lanes cut. You know, put on the Evercom. Go out and put up some trail cams. Get yourself ready. And that way, it's not a surprise. Like, November 15th seems to be every year. Everybody's going to go out and sight in on the 14th. Get your ammo from Not Just Guns. Get it now. It's a beautiful thing. Sight in. Put the gun down. Okay? Get the bow sighted in. Practice a little bit. It's just good things to do because it gets you outside and gets you, to enjoy this Great Lakes state that we live in. And just off to the west and north a little bit, my good friend Brian Brosdahl is enjoying the hot days in Minnesota. And that's almost kind of an oxymoron to say hot Minnesota days.
Yeah, it's truly good to be here. It's truly hot because when we get those really hot heats, it's like a jungle here because of all the lakes, and it's really humid. And but the fishing's good. The one thing I liked about summer, and I would really enjoy it, be in Michigan and fishing those big jumbo perch that move into the weed beds that some people wait till fall to get or winter. So they're there now, and they bite really well in the middle of summer. That's what I love about it. And, you know, as far as getting back in the woods right now, spraying a little thistles, the mosquitoes like bros blood. So I got to stop doing that and get back on the lake.
You're like a walking feast.
I love summer.
You know what?
I am. They're just feasting on me.
Oh, God. You're an easy target like me. They just see us coming.
Yeah, I am.
And away they go. But let's talk.
I get a lot of surface area.
Right. Oh, trust me. Me too. Let's talk about perch because, you know, it's funny because you're right. People wait for the fall. Oh, let's go to St. Clair and catch perch. Why the hell aren't you doing it now?
Yeah.
You know, what's wrong? Why are we missing the hot bite of summer? What makes us think that they're not going to bite right now?
Well, and the thing is, all lakes are just slightly different. So every lake is firing at a different time. And whether I would be fishing some of the large lakes in northern Michigan or eastern Michigan, or if I'm fishing here, not every lake's firing at the same time, but that's where you go figure it out. You know, you want to keep it to yourself too, otherwise your perch will leave the lake really fast. But there's big perch to be had, and some of the best perch fishing is in the middle of summer and nobody's fishing for them. And I know that, okay, here I'm on the radio and I'm fishing perch and no one's around fishing them. So that's going to bring people. I don't care because people got to get out and fish. Fishing is good for the soul. It's good for the heart. And it's a great thing to do with the family. And you know what? Perch are like a walleye, but taste a little bit better.
You know, I do like perch. That was always my mom's favorite fish. She loves perch. And, you know, I mean, I'm okay with panfish. I've really gotten to the point where I like my, you know, bigger fish like walleye and sockeye and things of that nature. But you really can't beat a good perch, especially when you have a good amount of them.
Absolutely. And you know, that's something that I noticed every time I'm fishing in Michigan is just the bounty of all these good perch lakes. And there's true trophies. And, okay, we're talking about a small fish in the scheme of things. Mm-hmm. A fish that, you know, is about a foot long would be a big one. But what you're doing is you're fishing for a small fish that's bigger than another small fish. Wait a minute, that's kind of crazy. But that's what you are. But they're a fish that's probably the best-eaten fish in the lake, and they're available. And take advantage of it. And what I'm doing basically is perch really love crayfish and the summer hatches. So if you got mayflies and midgeflies, they'll be working that mud transition area where they're coming out of the mud. But then after the flies start settling down, they need to keep eating. So they'll move up on the shallow flats. And you find some cara or some sand grass, and you start fishing in there, and there'll be perch on the edges. Look for them with side imaging. Like on your hummingbird, you could see perch. they'll just be like, you know, little scattered bunch group of fish in the little pockets where the sand clearings are. And if you're in gin clear water and you're fishing 8 feet of water, you'll know, because all of a sudden the area will glow, and that's the sand. And start pitching those areas and using small little deep V jigs. They got it's a little pill-shaped jig from Northland, and put out a small minnow, or you can use a chunk of crawler. It's got a little tiny barb to keep that crawler on. And so you pitch around, and or thumper head has a little spinner. It's a bottom spinner jig, and pitch it out there and search through it. But you could see them on definitely on side imaging. Perch are big enough that they leave a signature. So look for shadows on the screen on the outside of the shallow flats. So flats are super important. Steep edges are nice when you're walleye fishing, steep, deep, facing the main open lake. But large, expansive flats, that's where you're going to find the perch right now.
Speaking with Brian Brosdahl here on the Conquest Sense Hotline, bro. What about leeches? You know, I mean, that's a good, tough, you know, piece of bait to be able to put on a hook. It's not, they can be not terribly huge, but, you know, I mean, perch can be kind of voracious when it comes to their appetite and how they feed.
Oh, yeah. A perch could take a chunk of crawler off and you don't even know it's gone. What I do is I always get leeches also. It's kind of a little trick, something in my bag of tricks, and I'll cut leeches up, and I don't need giant leeches. Just give me some mediums, you know, larges are nice, and I just hack one up into pieces, and you put that on your hook, and they enjoy it. The perch will eat it, and you catch walleyes when you're fishing for perch because they're chasing a perch around. It doesn't matter if you're on the Great Lakes or if you're inland, there's perch, and there's always going to be a few walleyes hanging around. So it's kind of a fun thing because you get a mix of things, and then, of course, you'll catch bluegills sometimes if you're near the weedy edges. But they want a little bit more of a muddy bottom, and they're going to be working that edge. But you find some taller weeds, and you might get a mixed bag. But for the most part, go to the flats and, you know, put a chunk of leech on, or as we call them, leeches pieces in my boat. That's a perch candy, leeches pieces. And but you'll catch pumpkin seeds in the hard bottom area, or shell cracker type of bluegills. But most of your bluegills will be in weeds, and crappies definitely will be in the tall weeds, whether it's milfoil, cabbage, any kind of tall edge. They're creatures of edges, and they don't like to leave it. They like the shadow. And perch, they just want to be on the edge of a sand clearing. And they just kind of swim through looking for crayfish, and they're pounding crayfish. And I've talked to people who even use little frozen shrimp on a thumper jig, the little tiny popcorn shrimp at a grocery store. And I don't need to do that. I got bait shops all around, but you know, there's a lot of things you can do to catch them. And then for walleyes this time of year, I'm throwing plastics, paddle tails, impulse flukes. And then now they just debuted, Northland debuted the MVP jig, which is, it's like the mud bug head design that I designed years ago, but in a larger form with a gamma katsu. It's a wicked hook with a barb, and this is perfect for plastics. And it just came out. And so this is new, and that and the weedless fireball jig would be perfect for perch. Pitch it in there with a titanium fireball, and it's short so they can suck it in. Long shank hooks are not good for perch because they can't suck them in with a small mouth.
All right, Brian Brosdahl is our guest, and we're going to find out why he's not at ICAST, why he's home fishing. Ask me where I'd rather be. Here, fishing. More coming your way. I'm Duran Martinez. Look us up on the intranets, webs. WildMichiganRadio.com. More coming your way next.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here on the Michigan Talk Network. Being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street 127 in Mason. Back open after their little hiatus, switching over their point of sale system. Brand new system, and everything's going great, and they're taking care of our folks out there. And they want to see you. Find them online, notjustguns.com, or go there in person like I did the other day. It's a great place, man. Looks small from the road, but believe me, once you get inside, you'll forget all about what the appearance from the outside is on the inside. Also, want to remind you, going on this weekend, our good friend Tom Nelson is doing his shoot on Saturday and Sunday out to Thorny Acres Archery Club out in Elsie, Michigan, on French Road in Elsie. Tom will be out there for the shoot. There's novelty shoots. There's food. There is the 3D course, which is absolutely fantastic. One of the best 3D courses in Michigan, in my opinion. And there's such great people out there. It's a small club, but you know what? It's just very welcoming. A lot of fun. Tom will be out there. Lots of prizes. So by all means, get out there this weekend and see Tom and tell him that we sent you out there to Thorny Acres for the Tom Nelson shoot, host of the American Archer. Now, back to Brian Brosdahl is our guest here, and Bro, you've made some changes, some professional affiliations, if you will. Back in the day when we had our friends at Chappelle here, Chappelle used to be manufactured in Grand Ledge. They made fantastic equipment. They were bought out by another company, and unfortunately, we lost that local connection. You, on the other hand, you're welcoming Otter to your family of products, and that's got to be an amazing jump for you.
Oh, absolutely. I've always been friends with everybody there, and that's how it is in the industry, in the fishing industry, is we all get along behind the scenes. You know, you help your company, but you don't wish anybody bad. You're actually friends. And with Frable being bought and going, I'm not sure what's going on over there now, bought by a super large company. I went to a family-owned company, Otter, that's still family-owned. And I'm a family-owned company kind of guy, you know. So you look at Northland Tackle, still family-owned. John Peterson still owns that. And he has some people that helped him, you know, make it a little bit bigger. But he's still the owner. And almost every company I am is family-owned. And there are a few big ones. But it's such a nice place there at Otter. They're super cool people. And they make one heck of a fish house. And I'm sure everybody who fishes Saginaw Bay or St. Clair or anywhere that gets ice, and once in a while at Erie, that Otter House has always been a really popular and probably the best house on the market, absolutely the best house on the market compared to what's out there. It's not a disposable house. It's buy it and really enjoy it. Ice fishing isn't super far away. Some people don't like ice fishing, probably don't like hearing that. But there's a whole lot of people who do love it, and so it'll be exciting riding around and having the best house in the business. And this is that time of year, so ICAST is there. This year, I stayed home to guide, and some of the companies I'm with didn't go there. And I'm not just going to go window shop there on my own, but if I'm working at a booth, I definitely would be there. But let me tell you something. It's in Florida, and it'll be wall-to-wall. It'll be wall-to-wall bass pros at all those booths. They don't need an ice fisherman there.
You know, bro.
It's a really.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No,
there's some real innovations, but I can see when they come out.
Right. Well, you know, and that's the funny thing. You know, being a Michigan guy, I was tapped on the shoulder by Dick's Sporting Goods a few years back to host their footprint at the Bassmaster Classic. Okay, I was the MC. And it was great being down in Alabama the first time I did it, meeting all these people. And the funniest thing was, bro, I look at this gentleman one time. I said, "Sir, have you ever been ice fishing?" He looked at me as if he saw a ghost and said, "Well, what do you want to do that for?"
Yeah.
I mean, like, I was crazy.
I get that too.
You know, and it's so funny because it's so disconnected. I mean, you're right. Everything south, I mean, everything is bass fishing. Till this kid from Michigan named Kevin Van Dam comes along, and you know, shakes things up for a bit.
No, it's a cool thing, and so Kevin Van Dam, he's a northern guy, and it's hard to get through from the north, and then now Jay Securit. He's a Wisconsin kid. He's born in Wisconsin, and his dad's at the Walleye Tournament Pro. He won the Bassmaster Elite, so pretty cool stuff. But, you know, if I still could be at ICAST, I'd love to see the expressions on people's faces now that we basically got a robot like Terminator. We have a Mega Live target lock now that you put on the front of your boat, and you lock it on a target underwater, not a target up on the surface, okay, this is, you know, north, and I want you to troll me north. It's locked on the fish or the target, and then your trolling motor and spot locks maneuvering and doing this thing, and no matter where your boat goes, it'll just keep pointing at the target. It's got an arrow on top so you know where to cast.
That's crazy.
So, it's crazy. So now it'll... You know, if you see a big school of fish sitting there by that rock, you can point it at it and never have to think. You just keep pitching. You're dealing with your fish, throw it back out there. And so the future of fishing is now, and technology is really on a fast pace, but also a whole bunch of new rods came out from St. Croix from ice to open water. And then Northland, you know, just debuted their MVP jig, which I just mentioned. And if anybody hasn't seen it, it's MVP, like most valuable player jig. It is wicked good. And these hooks are already winning tournaments around the Midwest. That's prototypes sent with Northland Pros. And they lock into a big walleye's mouth, and they can't shake it. And for smallies, this is amazing. It's another hook they can't throw. You know, smallies can shake their heads super hyper fast and throw a hook. They can't throw this because it's a different shape, and so Northland worked with Gamakatsu to make a really killer jig head.
You know, Brian Brosdahl is our guest here on Wild Michigan, speaking to him via the Conquest Sense hotline. Bro, I'm looking at that MVP jig right now, and I look at the eyes that they have put on this jig. I don't know if you're going to find another one with such realistic eyeballs. I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah, it really makes a difference, and it's just been a joy to use it. And I've used it in a lot of situations. I've even used it under a slip bobber when you're dealing with really, really big walleyes, giant walleyes. They can't let go. But I definitely will be using it in my bass tournament. We have a smallmouth bass tournament because a lot of your heart gets broken over and over when those big ones come up. Got the rod tip down in the water to keep them down, and then they could come up and throw those jerk baits, those spinner baits, and even jigs in plastic. But you put this on, they ain't going to throw it.
No, it's Northland, again, not sitting back on their laurels of the things that they have made in the past. They are continually moving forward. And that's because, I mean, the website, there's so much detail. I can only imagine the amount of money that they're putting into this. With the Deep V jig and the MVP jig, the things that are out there now, the website, all the colors that are available, and just to be able to go and kind of scroll over and magnify the detail of these jigs. I know a lot of it's for us, but it's definitely got to be helping with the fish.
Oh, it is. And then they came out with Northland Rumble Series, which Northland and Bagley, you know, bought Bagley. And Bagley was an existing company for many years. And and Bagley is the bass side now, and Northland is the walleye side. Well, on the walleye side, they have the Rumble Series crankbaits. And from out in Erie or Lake of the Woods or any part of the Great Lakes, those things are catching lots and lots of fish.
All right, Brian Brosdahl, appreciate you joining us. Thanks for sticking around to do some guiding up in Minnesota. Looking forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks to Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense. And thanks also to Not Just Guns for helping keep this show going. Whole another hour coming your way. Look us up on the Facebook. Make sure you go out and see Tom Nelson out the Thorny Acres shoot. And find us online, wildmichiganradio.com. More coming your way on the Michigan Talk Network.